glad for that song. Thank you for that. And let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we continue our series on Grounded and Settled. And we spoke last week about who the church is and just some of the things that that Paul recounted via Epaphras, and spoke about really just the introduction of the book, and talked about how really the summary and the theme of the book is for each Christian to be grounded and settled in Christ, and how important that is in our day as well. We looked at who Paul is and just how he describes himself there and learned some things, but we're going to continue now and really look at a character here that maybe you can say only really applies to maybe even one person in this room tonight, and that's myself as a pastor. And I was just reflecting on this afternoon, just thinking through the different characters that God often brings out, like this one who really Epaphras is only mentioned a few times in Scripture. And he had a specific role, and you know, tonight maybe you're the leader of your home, and there's some things that you can glean from this as well. Maybe you lead a ministry, and there's something here for you, and I hope that as you follow along, that God will give you what you need tonight. But I was sort of just preaching this to myself this afternoon, and so you know, really as we go through these two verses, here's what I want you to do. Pray for me that I'll be an Epaphras for our church. And, you know, I think sometimes when we look at the role of the pastor in a church, sometimes we sort of forget that pastors are just human. And they need to just have the grounding in the Word of God as well. And I want to be grounded in the Word of God in the way I lead the church and I pastor the church. And would you pray for me about that? You know, I hope that as we would seek to produce men for the ministry, that we would look for the character that Epaphras has, that we instill that in our young men that are called to the ministry. And that's my prayer, that we would find a few more Epaphrases. And so we're going to answer that question tonight, just these two verses this evening on who is Epaphras. And again, it could apply as you think about you as the leader of your home. It could apply as well if you're leading a ministry, or perhaps you sense that you have a calling of the Lord and you're wanting to get into ministry, and it could be something that you could learn from tonight. But let's just begin to read there in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And notice what he says in verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time that we can have tonight, just being challenged in your word once again. And Father, your word is complete. It's perfect. You, Lord, didn't just write fillers in there and for no purpose. There's a great purpose in every word. And so I pray that you'd help us to learn in these two verses, Lord, what you've preserved for us, dear God, in Lord, just the testimony of this one person. And I pray that you'd help us then to perhaps even examine it in our own lives, and then, Lord, just, Lord, desire it, that would be true in those that were seeing called to ministry. And Lord, I pray, Father, for myself, that you just would help me, Lord, to just see some of the things that are in his life, dear God, that would be true in my life as well. And I pray that you just help us tonight in Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen. And so again, just, you know, you think about this man, Epaphras, and there's not much in the Word of God mentioned about him, but we do know he is mentioned in the Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at this character in the Bible named Epaphras. What we learned that about him is that he was a faithful minister, meaning I think that he was the pastor of the church there in Colossae. He had gone out to seek Paul again to help him just with some of the issues that had been transpiring in the local church there, and he wanted Paul's help in helping the church navigate through this time. And his name means lovely. And if there's been many other things I've been called, I've never been called lovely before, but my name isn't Epaphras either. So, you know, and you know what I've learned now, having pastored two churches and having followed after different pastors in my life as well, and taking on the work that they've had, I just know that pastors come in different forms and different sizes and different personalities and everything else. But what I know is this, because I know this of myself, just like anything in the Christian life, it's got to be done by faith. And when we look at the life of Epaphras, the Bible later on in chapter 4, verse 12, simply says about Epaphras, it says in verse 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you." And I want to just straight away remind you tonight that even though the Bible says there you also learned of Epaphras, he was someone that was an example, someone that they could look to, he was also one of them. He was part of the flock. And I want to remind you that as we think about this church in Colossae, that this man Epaphras, who was a pastor of the church, he wasn't apart from the body. He wasn't someone that stood outside of the body. He was part of the body. And I want to remind you of that, because sometimes we ascribe to the pastor a different designation than the Bible would. And sometimes we would think that the pastor somehow is apart from the body. Like he's not part of the body, as some sort of special different place. And we understand he has a special role, and we can expound on that. We won't tonight. But I'm saying he is one of you. I am one of you. I'm part of the body too. And as much as the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that every joint supplieth, we're to work in that sense of the oneness of the body that is most conducive to the success of the church and the success of God's work. And there's something there that Paul says, he is one of you, and I think it means that he was part of the region there. But also it meant that Paul considered him part of the flock as well. He didn't come across to Paul, and Paul didn't see him as anybody that was apart from the body. He wasn't more special. He just had a different role. He was one of them. He was simply a member of that local assembly. And again, we would do well to be reminded that the pastor is part of the church too. That as he bears burdens, as I bear burdens, then you can bear burdens as well. That as the Bible says, you know, when one part of the body suffers, we suffer along with it. That's all of us. I'm not apart from that. And he was just making note of that about Epaphras. And it just seemed to me that Paul spoke very highly of this man. And we would do well, I think, to observe some of his character. And the first thing I want you to note is there, as you also learned of Epaphras, and notice what the Bible says, our dear fellow servant. You know, we often would view the pastor as a leader, and there is leadership built into the role. We can see that in the different designations that a pastor is given. He's given the title of bishop. He's given the title of elder. He's given those kind of titles that we see, pastor and so forth. But here in Paul's description of Epaphras, he says, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. And again, Paul considered Epaphras a servant as himself. And Paul himself, three times in the scriptures, described himself as a servant in his introductions. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself teaches, doesn't he, that the greatest amongst us are those that are servants, those who would see themselves as servants. And yet what he calls himself here is a fellow servant. And in fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself, in his estimation, Jesus himself looks upon himself and sees himself in the form of a servant. He went and the the time when Jesus had everything in his hand, the Bible says, you know what he did? He washed the disciples' feet. He was the ultimate servant. He was a fellow servant. And Epaphras was described here as a fellow servant. You see, a fellow servant, firstly, I think, is one considered to be on the same side. He wasn't apart. He wasn't in opposition. He was on the same side. He was a fellow servant. A fellow is a person in the same position, involved in the same activity. And this indicated that there was harmony between he and Paul. There was harmony in what he was doing as well as what Paul was doing. And, you know, one of the joys that we had this year was, as a church, we hosted a leadership conference and we got to host some fellow servants. Listen, there was, when we arrived here and there were different pastors of different places and different churches, none of us had higher ranks than others. You understand? You know, none of us here came up and we said, no, he's up here and we're down here. No, we were just fellow servants. We were all on the same side. And we're all in the same team and we're all working together to the same cause. And to be in fellowship means it's just a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. And, you know, as we think about the church and we think about what our groundedness and our settledness needs to be, let's be reminded that in whatever area that we're ministering in, and there's different parts of our church that we specifically minister in, let's be reminded that in that, we're not just leaders, we are fellow servants. We're fellow servants. We are ministers. We are those that are there to serve, and we are there with the same goal in mind, on the same side, and we're laboring, secondly, for the same cause. This was a fellowship based on an activity or a labor that was common to them, and what that was, it was the furtherance of the gospel. And so as Paul was sitting there perhaps with Epaphras, and they were talking about the issues at hand, and they were talking about some of the things that needed to be addressed, Paul wasn't simply looking at Epaphras as just someone else. He was looking at him as a fellow servant. Someone had the same cause. Someone who had the same message. Someone who had the same doctrine. Someone who had the same cause to further. And that was Paul's outlook on Epaphras. And I hope that that's our attitude as we go about and we minister together in this place. I hope that as we see those that perhaps God is calling out to do the work, and I hope that you would pray with me that God would call more to the field. I hope that you would understand that there's a great harvest out there and we need more laborers for the field. And I hope that we would desire as a church that God would raise up some men and that will labor for the field, but they would be instilled in them that they would be fellow servants. You know, I was just thinking about some of the different mission fields that we have it's our privilege to be able to have sent others to. We think of the field of Argentina where the Holowaties are, and we think of the field of Thailand where the Shemishes are, both Pastor Shemish and Brother Curtis, and then Joe over there. And we were thinking about the start of Gympie next week. And thinking about just the fact that we get to, and you know what, as I think about that, it's no more than an extension of what we're already doing here. They're just fellow servants as well. And we ought to have that mindset. And, you know, in Philippians 1:27, the Bible tells us that to only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I am come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, we're working for the same cause. And we hope we have that attitude. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice what he was trying to bring out here in regard to this. And you know, the church in Corinth, in Corinth there, Paul said they were carnal. There was division in the church, and there seemed to be some who in that area there, some were trying to follow after one leader and the other. And in verse 5, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" But notice the title he gives them, all these different leaders. He says, they're ministers. Okay, servants. Then he says here, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. And what he was trying to emphasize is there, everyone has a different role. One might plant, one might water. God's the one that gives the increase, but the point is this, you're working towards the same goal. You're working towards the same increase. You're working towards that very thing that God's trying to do. And he's saying there that there's that unity yields a greater measure of increase, and that's the mindset of being a fellow servant. You know, Brother Andrew came up here and he did the introduction, and we work closely together. And it's been a real joy over this last year to get to know him and get to know others in the church who are laboring in different areas. And I see people's passions, I see their heart, and you know, I'm overjoyed this week that he got to lead 3 young ladies to the Lord. You know, it wasn't me in that room. It wasn't you in that room. But he's a fellow servant. We're all for the same cause. So we all get to rejoice together. We get to rejoice. And we get to rejoice as if we were in the room too. As if we were the ones in there sharing that same gospel message. And it might have been that you were elsewhere this week doing the same thing, talking about the same God and the same Savior. And if you got to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you took the time to go and witness to someone and to maybe hand out a gospel tract, guess what? We're fellow servants. We all get to win in that. And so Epaphras, my dear fellow servant, I hope we hold each other in that dearness. Hope that we get to rejoice when there's a victory in one area and maybe perhaps a leaner season in another area. Hope that when we read prayer letters from our missionaries and we hear about God doing something in their lives, that it's not just a boring letter on a Wednesday night, but we're actually paying attention and we're thinking, you know what, we're on the same team. That's a fellow servant right there. And that we have the attitude that we're looking beyond what we get to do. No, we're looking at the whole body. We're looking at the fact that we are fellow servant. And, you know, his labor resulted also in a shared persecution. Because the only other time Epaphras is mentioned is in Philemon chapter 1. He says in verse 23, "There salute thee, Epaphras." And now he doesn't say fellow servant. He says my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. You know, I mentioned earlier that you know, as fellow servants and those that we get to labor together in the work, you know, we ought to look at that and we ought to see that sometimes even the persecution, the shared persecution, and it ought be felt. It would be something we're concerned about. It would be something that we're moved to pray and consider their plight. And we ought not to just so casually sort of brush past that. And we ought to just be concerned when others are going through what they're going through. And, you know, this fellow servant in Epaphras, he wasn't just a fellow servant on the same side with the same cause, but he was a fellow servant who served through prayer. Because later on in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, says, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God." And you know, one of the greatest joys that I get to receive sometimes is when another pastor in another area of the world or of Australia sends a text to say, "Hey, I'm praying for you today." That's a joy. I hope we get in the habit. You know, sometimes we can become myopic in what we do. Myopic in that we have tunnel vision. We only see what we do. And sometimes in all of that, there are things that we want prayer for. There are things we're struggling with. There are things that we're concerned about. And sometimes we can get into the mode of just praying for our own thing. We sometimes forget we have fellow servants that we ought to labor for in prayer. That we're just ministering in this way, that we look to those that perhaps are in different areas of Australia. And you know, this morning I texted a couple of preacher friends of mine who just were on my heart, and I was praying for them this morning. I was praying for their needs. I was praying for their wives, their children, and I was just thinking about them. And you know, just the joy of corresponding that way at times. There were a few in our church here that text me this morning to say, hey, Pastor, praying for you today as your minister. And I always take that. It's a great privilege. And we all support each other that way and be real about that. You know, and here, Epaphras was a fellow servant through prayer. And maybe you're thinking, well, how can I be a fellow servant? It just doesn't seem like I have any role. I mean, I'm just here and I'm willing to serve, but I'm not a leader, quote unquote. Hey, maybe you can just be a fellow servant and labor this way just by prayer. You know, this month, our theme again is prayer, right? We talked about it this morning. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And don't underestimate the labor of prayer. And for those of you who have ever taken prayer seriously, you know it's labor. You know that that's a ministry in itself. And many times we just take for granted that very real, very powerful thing of prayer. And I hope that we do. We are more appreciative of that than we are even now. Hope that when we receive those kind of things, it ought to give us a joy, give us a sense of the support that we're getting from each other. And Epaphras prayed fervently for the church. And one of the things that God's challenged me about, honestly, tonight, just being honest with you, is just to be more prayerful for our church. I do. I pray for you all. But I want to be fervent in prayer. I want to be fervent in prayer. And the Lord was challenging me about that this afternoon. I went for a quick walk around our neighborhood just to clear my head a little bit, and I've begun to pray for the church in generalities. But the Lord was challenging me about, hey, when was the last time you prayed very specifically about each one in your church? Hey, when did you become a fellow servant that way? And maybe you can take that mantle a little bit this week and just think about those in need and those who are going through some things, and maybe some that you don't know much about, and you'll utilize the next couple of verses there, as we've spoken about before in verses 9 to 14, about the general prayer requests that we can offer up to God for others. But he was a fellow servant who served through prayer. And I wonder if we would be just that. And I know that was a challenge to me as I thought about tonight. How much more can I pray for our church? How much more can I pray for those who are laboring on the field? How much time did I spend this week praying for our missionaries? How much time did I spend just praying for my friends around around the globe who are ministering just like I am, who maybe they're going through a heartache and maybe they're going through some sorrow? And how much time did I spend just being a fellow servant laboring in this thing of prayer? But then I want you to note then also how he's described here, our dear fellow servant. And then he says, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ? And so the next way that Epaphras is described is not only a fellow servant, but then a faithful minister. And there's no doubt that this is, again, speaking about Epaphras' role as the pastor to the church in Colossae. But note the wording of the scripture here, who is for you a faithful minister. You know what? This was an indication here of a specific role he played within the church in Colossae. You know, in a broader sense, as we understand the term minister, this could also apply to those who minister in some part within the body. But faithful minister, it describes him. He says he is a faithful minister, and specifically to you. The only other time faithful minister is used is to describe Tychicus as well. And some have postulated not only was Tychicus the messenger that perhaps delivered this letter from Paul, but he perhaps was the one that took Epaphras' place while he was imprisoned. And some have postulated perhaps Tychicus was also the pastor that followed after Epaphras over there caretaking the church. But whatever that is, he's saying he was a faithful minister. And we understand the word faithful. It's to be consistent, right? It's to also understand that we have a calling to be faithful to. But he was also saying that he was a faithful minister to you. Who is for you a faithful minister? And the first thing we learn about that is that the minister is to be faithful, but the minister is for the people. He was a minister for them. Not just anywhere else. He was for you a faithful ministry. And, you know, sometimes you look at the paperwork. It's people work. right? You could spend the time, and certainly there's time, of course, I'm called to prayer in the Word. But you understand that the role of a shepherd is to be with his sheep and to be with the flock, and ministry is people. And, you know, you often sit with different people who feel like they're called to ministry, but they just don't seem like they like people at all. And you may not, I'm not just saying like they just don't like people, they just don't seem to care much about the need of people. And you wonder, well, are you called at all? And yet, what we see about Epaphras, he was for you a faithful minister. He had a ministry to the people. And Paul was like that. Paul, in his dealing with those that perhaps he was mentoring in 2 Timothy 3, he says to Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine. You've fully known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." He was saying, you've fully known, you've seen my life. You know how you see someone's life? You're with them. I think that's the biggest eye-opener about marriage, isn't it? Is you have this, you know, you're only seeing them from time to time, to now you're living with them, now you see them, right? Both the good and the bad. And you see that, and that's the great adjustment of marriage. And, you know, there's that kind of relationship that's actually meant to be, if you're going to be a faithful minister, you're to do life. There's got to be that connection. There's got to be that sense of journeying together and knowing each other. And even Paul put himself out there. He was willing to be exposed at times for the betterment of the people he was ministering to. And he was saying about Epaphras, he was for you a faithful minister. This was to him a compliment of his willingness to be with the flock. And in fact, Peter said it himself in 1 Peter 5:2. He says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." You know what that is? It's a willingness. And so he's saying here that for you, he was a minister to the people, but just simply, the minister is to be faithful. And what it is, it's just consistent in his service. It's just the idea of diligence. And, you know, the verse that came to mind in Proverbs 12:27, I think Brother Dave, you referred to this. He said, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." We were talking about hunting, and he was saying, because I'm not really a hunter. I've done it once or twice, and he is, and he understands this verse a lot more than I do. But when you take an animal and you have to do all the work of carting it to your ute and then gutting it, sometimes you can feel a little like, you know, this is too much. And he's saying here that the slothful, right, man roasteth not that which he took hunting. He might have killed it, but he may not have finished it off. And, you know, the substance of the diligent man is precious. And you know, many times I've seen it, different pastors like different parts of the ministry. They like the parts where they get to stand and maybe, but they won't do the hard yards sometimes of just being with people. You know, that's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing all that you're supposed to do. And again, that's a challenge to me. I'm not putting it out there for someone else. I'm meant to, this is a message to me at times, and I need to have that, again, a completion of that role and a completion of what we're supposed to do to be faithful ministers. But then in verse 7, we see that he's a faithful minister, notice there, of Christ. And the minister is to represent Christ. He's not a minister for himself. He's a servant of Christ. Epaphras was not simply serving based on an appointment, but in particular, a representative of Christ. We're called, if you're a Christian, to be ambassadors for Christ. We're all really to be ministers of Christ in that way. And so what we do is we're supposed to represent someone in our ministering, and primarily we're not just to represent the church. We're not just to represent one another. We're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a holy calling, isn't it? That's a calling that ought to make us think twice about our calling and go, you know, I need the Lord. And I need Him and I need His work in my life. And it's not in our own name or the name of Christ. It's not about floating our name out there in big neon lights. It's about the name of Christ. And, you know, John the Baptist himself says, I must decrease and He must increase. And it is that, you know, those who faithfully minister, there's a diminishing self and an increasing Christ. And you pray for me about that. I have a flesh. Sometimes you want your names, your name. And there needs to be a diminishing of that. And that's something, again, if you're called to ministry, there ought to be a desire for a diminishing self. And the minister is to represent Christ. And yet what we see in verse 8 as we close off tonight, he says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You know, the last thing is the minister is to praise others. You know, this show that Epaphras, it wasn't all about himself. He didn't want the spotlight. He highlighted the church's character and was willing for others to shine. You know, that's and I want to say to you, perhaps those who minister in whatever way, may you desire that others shine in your ministry. Would you progress them? Would you desire that they would do more or do a greater work for the Lord than even you can? And you know, one of the great things that I've been able to experience in my ministry life is those pastors who are willing not to be all about themselves, they were willing to be about others around them. And I've gotten to experience that. I've gotten to be part of that, and that's a good thing. And you know, this showed that Epaphras wasn't about himself. He highlighted the church's character. And I'm reminded of the scripture in Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And it's a good principle. He says in Romans 12, 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And, you know, tonight, again, the Bible highlights for us this man, Epaphras. And not that he was just anything, it's just that the Bible said about his character, he was a dear fellow servant. It was the same cause, he was on the same side, he labored in prayer. He was a faithful minister for you, he was for the people. He was representative of Christ, he was willing to praise others, but he was faithful in that. And whatever God's called you to, can I encourage you tonight as we close off, be faithful to that. Hey, listen, you look around and everyone's got a different part to play. You know, in the beginning, you're to be faithful to the Lord, right? You ought to be faithful to Him as His child. Really, if you're married here tonight, listen, be a faithful wife, be a faithful husband. These ought to be good descriptors for you. You ought to be a fellow servant in your household, men. You ought to be a fellow servant. You ought to have a heart to serve your wife. Some of you are so boneheaded about that you think you should get served. Listen, you should serve. You should have that. And you be faithful in that which God's called you to. Because at the end of the day, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what grounds me in my calling. Is that one day I'm going to stand and give an account for this church and this place. And I wonder if I could be described as Epaphras was. He was a dear fellow servant who was just a faithful minister for you. And you pray that for me. That's my desire as we continue. You know, I was just reflecting. Last year, we were just about to make the move here. We were about to enter into 2 weeks of quarantine. And we came in, and I remember flying in. We were all excited, and we were all just on this great journey for the Lord. And now we've been here just about a year. And I just think God's just so good. And it's just been my joy to get to know you, but there's more. And I want to continue, and I want to just, my desire tonight, and you pray with me, is that I would be an Epaphras in your midst. And men, listen, you've been Epaphras in your home. Listen, ministry leader, you've been Epaphras in your ministry. Hey, let's pray for those that are around who are Epaphrases in their place, and let's pray for them that they would be just dear fellow servants and faithful ministers of Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for the time. And Lord, I know that, Lord God, that, Lord, you call and you place, and you're the one that sets every member in place. And yet, Father, in all of that, we have a great calling in what you've called us to. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have the character of Epaphras, Lord, someone who, Lord, is an example to us, someone who, Lord, is a dear fellow servant, Lord, someone who is, for you, a faithful minister. Help us, Lord God, to be that in our respective places. Lord, I do pray, dear God, tonight, for those all around the different churches here in Australia and all around the world who you've called to this role, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, help us to just be below before you, dear God, and recognize that, Lord, we're part of the body. We get to minister in the midst of your people, your church. And I pray that then you'd help us to have unity as a group of believers going forward for you. Help us then to just see your hand of work in this place, Lord, as we minister together. I pray that, Lord, you would just give the increase as you promised. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' most precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen.